Watch Queenie, the new original series on Hulu. Who's Queenie? She's in her 20s. She lives in London. She's facing all the firsts. First major heartbreak, first shitty apartment and soul-sucking job, first therapy session to work through those mommy issues. Can she turn her quarter-life crisis into a revolution? Maybe. Will she make some questionable decisions along the way? Definitely. The new series Queenie premieres June 7th, streaming on Hulu.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Welcome back, niggas and friends, to another episode of the show. I am Sterling K. Brown.
And I am Chelsea Gray. This is The Read. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you indeed for coming back. Well, here we are.
Once again, we're back, girlies.
How are you doing this week?
I'm still a little tired from my birthday celebration. Thank you so much to everybody who wished me a happy birthday. I had an incredible weekend. Surrounded by the people closest to me in the whole world. I literally could not have asked for anything else. My voice is still kind of out. Because in addition to all the partying that we were doing.
You were loud.
There was that. Yes. I mean, it's who I am. Plus, my friends are also loud. So we're like being loud over each other. And
loud.
The Aces won the championship on Sunday. So I was literally screaming throughout that entire game. And it has just been a great week. So I am tired from that, but also, you know, feeling pretty good. How are you holding up? I was so glad to see you at my birthday party. You're sweet.
I told you
handsome.
I was coming.
Right. I wasn't shocked, but it's just so good because we haven't all been together in so fucking long.
I know. It was so nice.
It was. It was really nice for us all to share the same space again.
But you remember when you came and visited me and we were talking about me making a list of things to live for when I didn't have things.
Yes.
And the first thing I put on there was Crystal's 40th birthday.
I do. I do remember that.
I was gonna miss it.
Man. It meant everything for you to be there.
Yes. And I had a good time. And
I'm glad.
So nice to see everybody.
Yes. Shout out to everybody for that. So, yeah. How are you?
I'm actually okay. I'm very busy again. We're back. I think I can say this.
Yes. We're back. We all know. Oh, yeah. We know. We know. We're so glad. Thank God.
Yay, season 2.
Woo.
Chicago renewed.
Yeah. Shout out to Issa. Whatever you had to do, girl. Happy. We're so grateful because.
Seducing scheme.
I didn't want to say it, but I can't wait. Till we can, you know, talk about it a bit on the Patreon, but so proud of you and the work you've done and can't wait to just dissect this show and for more to come out.
Well, I feel the same way. Thus, we are working ever so hard on it. And I say that to say for the coming weeks, I might sound a bit tired. I might be a bit tired. Mm-hmm. There may be a week where an episode is late or an episode does not come out. Bear with the doll.
Amen.
She loves you. It's true.
It's true.
And
you be doing your level best.
I am doing the Negro best.
We know that it.
I absolutely can.
Amen.
And thank you. That's all I have to say about
Amen.
That. So let's get things started with Black Excellence. And this week, I'm just going to give it to the one, only, true living diva.
I know exactly who this is.
The Zaya Wade.
Period. I can't handle little sister in this ad. I can't handle it.
You know, just a fresh campaign for a new upcoming Tiffany.
I just cannot.
Tiffany and Company. The melanin.
The
beauty.
The face. That is a model.
The smice.
Oh, my God.
The grace.
The hair. The whole look.
Absolutely laid.
I can't.
Work, young diva.
Yeah.
They can't take it. And no. That's on them, sis.
I mean, and it's like, it's beautiful, plain makeup. The hair is gorgeous, but it's not like, it's like a very, it's modest. A muted ad. It's Tiffany. Like, it's not, it's not doing a whole lot. The face is the point, and that I think that's really what is so great about it.
And like, you have to just get it.
Yes, you do. You just have. There's not a whole bunch of dressing up of everything. It's the face and the jewelry, and that is exactly what you focus on. Like, that is how fucking gorgeous this girl is in this. If you haven't seen it, go Google it right now. Just, I can't take her.
Diva.
I can't take her. Just come break my neck. Just come break it in half.
Face. Symmetry.
Just stomp all over my fucking back, girl.
Beauty.
So good.
Rare form.
Just gorgeous. Yes, yeah. Cannot say enough good things.
Modeling in Tiffany campaigns currently. Beyonce. I'm just saying.
Oh, yes. Like, yes.
You know.
Icons.
Things in common. Just icons.
Black girls beauty. Who are incredible. Yeah.
Fashion.
Congratulations, Zaya.
Okay. So let's get into the pop culture segment. Hot Tops, the unbearable weight of massive dick.
It's a burden.
Yeah.
A heavy load in life. I'm sorry.
I can't even fault you. I started it.
You did. It's literally your fault. So.
All right. So, little updates. Quinta Brunson, Emmy Award winning writer, period. Actor, comedian, producer,
all of you.
Fashion
above.
Model.
Yes.
Appeared on Jimmy Kimmel's show, as we mentioned she would. After her Emmy win that he ridiculously laid in the middle of the stage for drawing attention from her moment and just being weird.
Yep.
So at the beginning of his interview with her, he brought up the incident, apologized to her about it, you know, reiterated that he is a fan of her and of Abbott Elementary, and sort of just gave her the floor, and she did basically the same thing that she did at the show, which was say, I want a fucking Emmy, bitch.
Like, yeah. You being a dumb white man wasn't taken away from the joy I felt in that moment, which I'm glad to hear, because, you know, she deserved every last bit of that. But
absolutely.
I also felt like this was good. Like, yeah, this is a good way to try to, obviously we can't go back in time, but to try to make up for the absolute dumbassery, the way you just simply didn't think it through at all. Yeah, this was nice. And if Quinta is letting it go, I'm letting it go.
I feel the same way, sis. I still think he's a privileged dork, but his apology seems sincere.
Yes.
And Quinta accepted it. And Abbott Elementary is back, bitch. So,
So there's
ducks in a row.
Jimmy Kimmel Hooms. Oh, well, let me stop because Tyler is going to be on tonight and I will watch it on YouTube tomorrow. So let me not front like I won't watch Tyler's interview. But I mean, that's just how I feel about Abbott. That's just how I feel.
So good.
It is. And Quintus said, you know, we were delving into them, you know, more as like teachers, as people, and like their outside lives. And I'm just so excited to see what all they do this season. I almost said semester.
On theme. Oh my gosh, they should call them. No, I'm such a fucking loser.
No, that's adorable.
They should call them semesters instead of seasons.
But it is, I'm just ready. Very extremely ready for whatever Quinta and Co. gives us. So yeah, congratulations again to them.
Yes, and to Cheryl. Did you see Cheryl Lee Ralph on Jennifer Hudson's show?
I did. Wasn't that so cute?
First of all, they both looked gorgeous.
Yes.
But the bow was
for the dream girl.
Cheryl was like, this ain't no cheap bow, so you know I'm keeping it.
I saw that. I saw the flowers that Oprah had delivered to the Abbott set.
Mm-hmm.
That then had to be transported to her home, and it took two men to bring them up the driveway.
Listen, if that nigga is not apologizing to you with flowers that need multiple hands to deliver them, he ain't mean it.
Like, she sent an entire greenhouse worth of flowers. I saw Beyonce, the flowers Beyonce sent, so I'm just so glad she's getting her love and having her moment, because it is extremely well-deserved and incredibly overdue. And of course, we open up, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I watched Abbott when it aired, so. But anyway, I won't.
Of course you did.
Of course, I was tuned in. I never watch anything live. Bitch, I was tuned in.
I love when you're a nerd for things.
Me too,
because you
right?
show up like
I get into
on
it.
Time and comfy for it.
Yes, I agree. I love when I really get into something. It's a fun part of my personality. So I'm just ready for everything they're gonna give us.
You're just not the Harry Potter movies, but that's
It's not my fault that those don't get better. And everybody keeps saying I had to have this argument over my birthday. With other niggas who are 40 or pushing 40 who wanted to argue with me. Okay. Well, that covers all of you. And and several of you big grown niggas was arguing with me about Harry Potter movies. They're not good.
Okay. All right.
Y'all just gonna have to accept it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we should finish them.
One day, yes, I told Patreon I will. So one day I will, but they're not good.
Okay. They're never going to be as good as the books, but that's everything, every adaptation of a book.
But they're never just going to be good. They don't even have to be as good as the books. They're never going to be quality cinema. I'm never going to be like, wow, I'm glad I spent my time watching this.
Oh, you know what? The author's a wretch anyway. So fuck
Right, exactly. Fuck her. Hey, y'all, this podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding a work-life balance can be tough, okay? If anybody knows, I know. But Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. If you don't know, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. You can use Squarespace to create a website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to your time, all in one place. With the new guided design Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website that's optimized for every device and make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in certain countries, you can give customers the chance to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. Y'all know I love Squarespace. I used it to put our website together. This is 3.com. I've also used it on my personal website, crystal.com. And that is because, first of all, it's very easy to use if you ever need to update it. It's simple to log in, make whatever updates you can make or whatever you need to do without knowing any code or anything like that. And it helps me to just stay organized, do everything I need to do. Because you got to have a web presence, okay? It's 2024. You got to have a web presence. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/3 to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Let them know Kifuri and Crystal sent you. All right, let's get back to the show. Hey, y'all, there's a famous Abraham Lincoln quote that says, "Good things come to those who wait." But that's only part of it. The full quote is, "Good things come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle." Is that true? Who knows? But if you're a business owner and you want the best people on your team, the same concept applies. Thankfully, ZipRecruiter puts the hustle in your hiring so you find qualified candidates fast. And now you can try for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. ZipRecruiter's smart technology finds top talent for your roles right away. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. There's a lot of really great people out there looking for employment, so let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So go hire somebody.
So the case against Tiffany Haddish and Ari Spears has been dropped. Mm-hmm. The John and Jane Doe have gone ahead and released a statement about how they've known Tiffany Haddish for years and they're glad to be able to put this behind them. Radar Online reported that Tiffany settled with them somehow.
Yeah.
Privately. So, looks like everybody's just going to be doing the best that they can to move on from here.
Yep.
I saw a video of Tiffany and TMZ in the airport, and she said that she lost all her gigs behind this, and she has no job, that's about as much as I've heard so far. No word on whether or not Ari Spears' butt cake head ass is going to pay because he needs to.
I mean, the fact that they got sued together is probably the only reason they got any money. No shade, but I mean, they also were both like guilty. Y'all were in that shit. Y'all were on that shit. Y'all prepared that shit. Y'all did that shit. So, yeah, I saw that same video of Tiffany talking about how she lost all her jobs, but she was also checking into Delta One, which is like the first class.
Being
privately escorted through security, like a lot of celebrities do. Like, it is LAX, but still, like, that's not a cheap flight, and you're clearly going somewhere for something. So, like, are we supposed to cry for you as you board first class to somewhere allegedly not to work? Like, I wouldn't be, I don't know. I don't know if I believe she truly lost all her jobs. Some of her stuff might be on ice and let it blow over. But, like, hosting that kids show, I'm sure she got fired from that. I'm sure you're not back allowed that set. Right. But the rest of it, I feel like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Tiffany Haddish continues to have a career. But
I mean, I think she'll be okay. But she's a comedian, so like gigs could be like, she probably had like a lot of live shows or stand up stuff booked and stuff maybe that people backed out on because of it.
Right.
But I think she'll probably be fine.
Yeah, I think after some time, if she continue, I don't know. Like, I just think that this is probably not the end of her career. I doubt we ever hear from Ari Spears again, but that should have never been a thing, right? That should have never even been a possibility in the first place.
The whole thing is unfortunate and weird and strange.
But yeah, yes.
Weird and strange.
Right. And if either one of you, like if neither one of you ever works again, I won't be crying about that. Like, this was a horrific thing y'all did. Go get a job somewhere else. Not entitled to be a movie star.
So down in, where did this happen now? Down to the Chicago.
Oh, Lord.
There was a stop of a tour called the Fall Back in Love Comedy and Music Jam.
Oh, God. Let me Google this Chitlin Circuit ass shit. Fall Back in Music. What'd you say? Fall Back in Music?
Fall Back in Music, yep. No, it's Fall Back in Love Comedy and Music. It's like one of those, you know, comedians and R&B singers do a thing together. And they always have like some like off the wall name. That's why I laughed. Anyway, it should have been called Battle of the Herd Ass Sorta Kind of Singers. Because what took place.
Wait a minute. Oh, no, not this flyer.
So, August Alsina is apparently on the tour. Tory Lanez is also taking place in the festivities. Now, one August Alsina took to the gram over the weekend and posted photographs that of himself all bloodied up and alleging that he was sucker punched and jumped by a 4'11" sized leprechaun. His words.
Shit.
Now, in the photo that I believe is still on this young man, August's Instagram, he's in what seems to be an elevator,
mouth
bloodied. But he's also kind of posing like he's on the way home from like Club Live or maybe Onyx or...
I booby trap
on the river. Like, he looks like, I don't know who took the photograph, why. But anyways, there's multiple photographs of him all injured. And he, you know, alleges that he hurt Tory's feelings by refusing to dap him up when they saw each other backstage. Now, there is video footage of this incident happening. August is in all of these, all this outerwear and coats and hoodies and stuff,
looking like
he's an immature and, or a crisscross. And then the little one is walking in the opposite direction with his security guards and shit. And he holds his hand out to shake August. And August looks directly in this nigga's palm as if.
like, are you joking?
As if he was trying to read it. Like, yeah. He looked right into his hand and then kept walking. Toy Story Lanes is still holding his hand out to the point where one of the girls standing off to the side just shook it for him.
She was like, oh, you're not getting it.
Yeah,
this isn't happening.
Don't worry about it. It's all right.
Let me clean this up for you. This is sad. Damn. Well.
So the story that I heard from Rip Michaels, who hosts the tour, is that Toy Story went back to his place, got security guards, went and found August, confronted him about it. August was like, well, you were talking shit about me. And then blah, 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 blah. And he's surrounded by Tory's security guard. And then when August turned his head, Tory punched him and, you know, hullabaloo and chaos and Ragnarok and whatever the fuck. So from there, it seems Tory was kicked off of the tour. You know, he alleges he didn't even know what the fuck that man was talking about. Of course, he would say that because now there are reports that Los Angeles Police Department is investigating the incident. Of course, they are also the people on his ass over that Megan Thee Stallion shooting.
Correct.
So just, you know, bad decisions all around were made. I need for the very best Pokemon trainer to finally catch this little nigga.
Yes!
And just keep him in the Pokeball.
100%. I can't. There's no better way to say it. Why is this tiny menace still a problem? What can we do to box this child up and send him on his way? First of all, I'm mad because I assumed you were joking when you said 4'11" size leprechaun was August Alsina's actual words. Like, I thought,
oh, no.
I thought you were just being yourself, but no.
I don't joke about quotes.
But I pulled up the Instagram and it's literally right there. Like, he called that man that and laid out everything you said. And it's weird to me because I feel like if this makes total sense as far as like what the video footage says and what August Alsina is saying. Like, if you've talked shit about me before publicly, we've never met till now. Like, And, you know, the whole corona and monkeypox thing, that's a given for me. But like all the rest of that, don't come up to me and try to shake hands like we cool or whatever when you know that we don't even know each other like that and that you have had something to say about me. And then to go get your security guard, niggas. It's like, if you really felt away, why wouldn't you just, why wouldn't you just do something right then if you really felt away? Like, but the real question is why Tory Lanez was booked on this shit in the first fucking place. I don't know why him shooting Megan wasn't enough for y'all to be like, yeah, we're going to distance ourselves from this nigga. But maybe now that he's hitting other niggas, assaulting other men, y'all will actually care and do something about it.
Yeah, well, he's been removed from the tour already, so they did something.
Well, right. But like maybe somebody else won't now pick him up and add him, ask him to come be at their little nigga fest or whatever. Because y'all niggas have short memories. Short memories. Like, how long is he going to be allowed to go around just letting his emotions on display and not having any common fucking sense? Like, how long are we going to have to go through this? And isn't he Canadian? Send him home.
I'm just waiting.
I said it about Justin Bieber, and I'm going to say it about him, too. Canada need to come get they shit.
So not even Pokemon, then. He'd be more like Digimon, I guess?
Oh, don't give
me... How did that work?
Now, you know I don't know.
Put them on like a floppy disk?
What the fuck is the difference between Digimon and Pokemon?
Well, Pokemon are pocket monsters, and Digimon are digital monsters.
But aren't Pokemon also digital?
Yeah, well, technically, but they're pocket monsters. You should keep them in your pocket.
Right. Okay. I don't have any other questions.
And they were also on the Game Boy Pocket. I think that's why.
Okay. There we go. Because I'm like, yeah, they're pocket monsters, but they never physically existed in your pocket. But now I actually Googled Digimon, and the first thing that came up is like, what the fuck is the difference? So... I'm learning a lot right now.
Really? Nothing. They were both just about little creatures.
That's basically, that's basically what I'm seeing here. And I had a Digimon. I had one of them pets you had to feed and clean its shit throughout the day. Oh, no, it's a different thing. Okay. Nope. Well, all right.
You're either talking about a Tamagotchi or a Gigabyte.
Yes. Yes. I had one or both of those.
That is so funny. We were just talking about those yesterday. You know they still make them?
No, do they really?
Yeah, there's like a resurgence. So you can get them like all over the place.
Not this toy I had in middle school. Wow. Oh,
all
man.
All new kinds of unicorns.
Do kids play with them dinosaurs? Or is it a bunch? It's a bunch of old niggas. It's a bunch of millennials.
I honestly believe that most of the people who own the latest ones are old 35 right. year olds. Like,
because a 13-year-old's like, why would I do this?
I could just...
There's like, not to mention there has to be like hundreds of apps where you can take care of a digital thing if you wanted to do that. Why would you get this old black and white? It's like playing the original with Snake.
How is that a dog?
What is it?
You mean out the door? You don't see the tail? You don't see the goddamn ears? You don't see the motherfucking bone?
This came out when y'all still had black and white TV, huh? That's why it looked like that.
Oh, okay.
The faces that the kids make when people talk about being born in the 1900s.
They don't want to offend us. But they like, also don't get it.
So it wasn't no internet in your house. So how did you FaceTime? They don't. They're like you did what? You talked on the phone? You did. How did that work? The whole concept of like not being attached to your phone is different for these kids. So anyway, don't know how we got on this topic, but.
Binge?
So you had, yes, nigga. And if you didn't catch it when it aired, then guess what? You were never going to watch it.
So then.
You were never, ever going to know what happened on that episode of Family Matters.
What's Family Matters?
Right. At that point, you need to leave my black American home.
Future has sold his entire publishing catalog to Influence Media Partners in a deal that has been reported to be worth the high 8 figures.
Ooh.
And its value. That means that around 612 song titles have been acquired by this group from Navadius Wilburn. It is Wilburn. I don't care. Whatever. By Navadius from his musical catalog. Now, a lot of the girlies have been giving Future flack for his decision to sell his publishing. Because I guess people who listen to some Dame Dash interviews or whatever feel like...
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. Like, I don't... I mean, I feel like based on, you know, growing up watching Behind the Music or whatever, I also feel like, oh, yeah, own your publishing. That's what you should do. You should own it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think you should. But also, I'm like, Future makes 12 songs a day. And
there is that.
Future makes 12 kids a day. So I just feel like that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of cash going out.
So
I guess
I really don't. I'm not gonna, I don't have a dog in the fight.
Right. Literally that. Like I guess I would not have thought. My thought is not, oh, I bet Future like really needs the money. I just don't, maybe he does and I don't know it, but I don't really understand this move. But also if it's like, oh, in like 10 years, it's going to be like a Behind the Music Future and how he got robbed of his publishing or whatever. I'm not going to care about that. I'm not a Future fan at all. Rarely does he put out a song that I actually want to listen to twice. So
he hasn't put out a song that I, or an album that I have truly enjoyed in a while.
Yeah.
It's Toxic and Backwards and, you know, all of the things that he can be. And I do believe that he sits atop of the pyramid of Illuminigga niggas.
Absolutely.
Possibly only under Nick Cannon, but that's for a later discussion. I'm telling you, they know something about the future that's coming. That's why they keep making these kids.
Okay.
Either way.
That's a nice way of looking at it, friend.
Either way. Future's response to the criticism is as follows. Unsuccessful people have no clue how success works. 9:24 a.m., September 21st, 2022.
Okay. What are we supposed to do with that?
Unsuccessful people have no clue how success works.
Sure, buddy.
Breaking news at 11. People without a driver's license don't know how to drive. More at 12.
Brand new information the rest of you were not at all privy to, and I have just blown your fucking minds with this knowledge.
Code cracked.
Oh, God. Like, if you're saying that you're not going to have the conversation with people who don't know anything about what it means to be worth, you know, $100 million or whatever, then why are you having the conversation? Why tweet it? What's the point in this? Because it's not like, I mean, the comments are wide open. Of course, niggas is going to be sitting here debating back and forth all day the merits of your decision. So, literally, what are we supposed to do with this?
Move around, sir. The rumors were also flaring that Kanye Omari West was also shopping his catalog around. Apparently that's not true, because then he posted a black background, white font talking about, just like Taylor Swift, my publishing is being set up for sale without my knowledge.
Oh, God.
Which I don't even think it was. I think it was just a rumor. And
right.
He like texted someone. They're like, girl, it's fine.
He's been posting a lot of stuff on Instagram that seems iffy. I'm like, okay, here we go again with Kanye. He's iffy. Right. But when I was watching Abbott, they were airing promos for some interview he's doing on whatever their morning show is. ABC's morning show is tomorrow. So literally tomorrow morning, Kanye has some interview with Good Morning America or whoever that is. coming out. And he doesn't, he looks unkempt, I will say. He looks like he could use a little TLC. So I don't know what's going on with that man, but he's been posting a lot of weirdo shit lately. Nothing really new, but yeah, up to the same shenanigans.
May the good Lord bless him.
Come on, say that.
May the good Lord bless him.
Go on and keep that. Yes.
May the good Lord bless
him. Just a little TLC, Lord.
50 Cent is passionately fighting a rumor that he has gotten sexual enhancement surgery done on his genitalia.
What? Is that really something you can do?
Beautiful. Oh, yes. And niggas have learned it a lot recently. And they're going in, getting dick fillers, girl. That's a thing.
Wow. Shut me up. Okay. Look at science doing something for good.
Well,
sorry.
It all started when 50 the Cent took a photograph with one Dr. Angela Kogan at her medical spa / plastic surgery institute. Perfection Plastic Surgery and Med Spa. Now, in the photograph that she's posted, it simply says, "Thank you, 50 Cent, for stopping by the number one med spa." She tags the spa. She says, hashtag 50 Cent, hashtag the spa's name. The spa's name again, hashtag med spa, celeb, VIP, facial, laser, and then power.
Oh,
which
girl.
I just realized, I guess it's probably in reference to the show.
Right. Like,
the strength of the tools they use to buff away your pubic hair or whatever. But so that was that. That was posted. Now, 50 Cent is pissed because he is saying that they're using his image and an old ass photo from February 2020 to promote their clinic. And what's worse is the Shade Room interviewed this doctor about the rise in men getting this sexual enhancement surgery done to their penis. And when they posted the photo, I mean, the interview thingamajiggy, they used this particular photo of Dr. Angela and 50 Cent.
Of course.
He's pissed. He's suing Angela Kogan and the business for this link and these allegations, and this just vicious gossip. Even though I've yet to find a place where this doctor stated that 50 Cent received said surgery or any type of procedure at the establishment. As far as it goes, as far as like, oh, well, they're using his image to promote the clinic. The image in question is you standing in what appears to be the med spa, directly in front of a fucking step and repeat with the med spa's name all over it. Mama is in her scrubs. She's clearly at work.
Yeah.
You are not dumb. You've been famous for a long time. So you knew when you took this photo that they would use it to promote their med spa. Whether you went there to go and get, you know, your beard lasered, or you went to go and pick up somebody, one of your girlfriends or somebody who went in there to go and get a BBL. I don't fucking know. It doesn't matter. You had to know that they were going to use this photo to promote the med spa. I don't think that you really give a fuck about that. I think that you give a fuck about the implication that you may have gotten, you know,
Right.
May have gotten the what you call it.
Some inches in on top of that. Right.
Now, it says here.
Wow.
In a lawsuit allegedly obtained by TMZ that he never went under the knife there, blah, blah, blah. He wants him to stop sharing the photo. And he says it's exposing him to ridicule, damaging his professional and personal reputation, and violating his right to control his name and image.
Oh, man. I love this. I do.
The Black American yep. gall.
That's that.
The Negro audacity.
And there's a lot of it. Ruining your image, sir? We can't be talking about the same thing.
Exposing you to ridicule?
For having a bigger dick? Am I getting that right?
You mean the thing that you do to... Black
Let's do that.
Women on the internet
yeah.
constantly?
There's that truth.
You just exposed little kid. It's fine. Don't care if somebody's pumping up 50 Cent's dick or not. I don't think that's absolutely what happened not. Here.
Nope.
No one accused you of it. If you should be mad at anybody, it should be the fucking Shade Room for putting that picture up with mm-hmm. this thing. Because I don't get, again, if someone has a quote from this lady or someone else who said, hey, I did this to 50 Cent. Please share it with me. I did not see that.
Yeah. Furthermore, no. He just is. I actually don't even think he's mad. I don't think he even gives a shit. I think he saw an opportunity to sue somebody and decided to take it. And that's that. I don't think he actually feels any of this about, like, oh, he's been subjected to all these objectifying comments. I don't think 50 Cent actually gives a damn about that. At all. I think he saw an opportunity to get some money out of somebody and said, I'm going to take it, and left it at that.
For whatever reason, oh, well, you know, Vivica Fox is on that Fox Hole show, Fox Soul.
You said it so smooth, too. So, it's called Foxhole. What is Vivica Fox doing on the Foxhole? Which hole? Are we... Never mind.
They were talking about this rumor or whatever on there, and 50 Cent was like, woo child, the one time I'm with him is on this one. Angela, you lying. If that's the one thing I know, that's true. He didn't have to get no enhancement. He's good.
Okay. Thank you, girl. I feel like we all knew that, but thank you for the confirmation. Again, they never alleged that he did. His picture was included in order to trick the public. Like, 100%, they saw an opportunity to sue and are taking it. But yeah. Yeah, girl, we knew. I feel like everybody knew 50 Cent had a big dick. Nobody thought otherwise.
I didn't think. Mm-mm. Also, Vivica, you are nearly 60 years old.
Go off.
And it has taken Curtis longer to say anything nice about you. So I don't know why we're caping, but...
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I think the tone of that show is like...
Is it gossipy? Yeah. I mean, even though it's about a nigga that you also used to fuck with, I don't know. But I guess that also makes people want to tune in even more to hear what you have to say, like, because of your personal experience. So, fine, girl. But as soon as I read the details, I was like, oh, yeah, his lawyers were like, you know, we can do something about that. Because this is just ambiguous enough for us to make some arguments and get this legally resolved. So I'm pretty sure that's all there is to it. 50 Cent never met a check he didn't want to cash. So
especially from a woman.
Right.
I was going to go from there into all of these blogger rapper wars. Cardi's going back and forth again with Tasha K. About to seize those assets, apparently.
I can't believe I even saw
Nikki's
that.
He's suing a blogger for, I forgot what, defamation. Drake is DMing Shay to YouTubers. And the girls are mad. They're upset. They have feelings.
A blogger is suing the Barbs. Kimberly, who does For Harriet, is suing the Barbs because she said something critical about Nikki. And they...
All of them?
No, but the ones who like doxed her and released her phone number and her address. Because you know the Barbs be going too far. I just saw... Yes, I just saw this whole write-up about it. I don't even remember what outlet that was, but... Yeah, she's actually suing the people who like broke the law and spread her address and phone number on the internet. And it's like, listen, because there's a such thing as going too fucking far. And when y'all start talking about threatening people's lives, threatening the children in their lives and all that, it's time to be held responsible for the shit that you are doing online. So I did see the Cardi and Tasha K thing. I did see the video that Tasha K did. Did you see that where she's talking about how Cardi is a 2-year-old ex-celebrity and only has one album and that's why you don't tour because they don't know if you're going to show up for your dates or if you're going to be getting plastic surgery instead. And
I read about this. I did not hit play on that.
It was... the whole time I'm like, but what does this have to do with you giving that lady her money? What did this have to do with you getting that? Like, and so, of course, after these videos came out, Cardi was like, oh, so you got shit to talk. Like, let's go ahead and freeze your assets. Like, I told you to give me my fucking things. So I saw that. I don't know. And my only real thoughts are like, I don't know what else has to happen to Tasha K for her to understand that, like, you need to watch what you say. You already owe that lady $4 million. Instagram talking about you escaped to Ghana in order to not have to pay that woman her money. I suggest you mind your fucking business. What else do you have to lose? Please chill.
I want to escape to Ghana. I've always wanted to visit it.
I mean, I'm sure it's lovely. Wouldn't want to go because if I stayed in America, then I was going to lose the panties off of my ass because I couldn't stop myself. Because I had every opportunity to delete the video and apologize to Cardi B and didn't do it. I would hate to be that dumb bitch. But the rest of this, yeah, I don't think I feel like I did see some Nikki news, but I didn't know she was suing somebody.
Yeah, she's suing a blogger for defamation. I can't remember exactly which.
Wait, the person who called her a cokehead? I didn't know that was a blogger.
I think so. I don't remember what the person said, but
oh, yikes.
Suing girl, the girls are suing. And then Drake DM'd some YouTube reviewer, random white person, some shady shit. And that blog, I'm just like, child, it's people have feelings and you just can't say anything.
I mean, I guess it says here that Nikki is looking for $75,000 in damages. So
that's it.
Yep. Well, I mean, what I Googled very quickly just now, that's what that says. So, I mean, I guess
that's a lot of money.
I mean, it is, especially for the average everyday person. That is a whole lot of fucking money. But, you know, I guess some of these sound like, you know, things that should be pursued. And some of them sound like niggas deciding to be petty and doing things because they can. But, you know. Whatever. All the girls are playing games.
That's going to be it for me when it comes to the hot tops. Thank you so much for listening to our pop culture segment. We're going to take a break and come back and read your letters.
Hey, y'all. These days, most of us are meeting new people online through the apps. Yes, it's me. I'm on the apps. I've been trying out a lot of them lately. And I have to say, there's something about that Hinge. First of all, Hinge is the dating app that is designed to be deleted. The whole point is that the girls want you to find somebody and then get off of it. And they have these great prompts Hinge prompts to help you show off your full personality and connect with somebody who appreciates you. Now we know Ligabigatiga Month is coming up. Kefira and I are both on the Broken Wrist community, and Hinge's LGBTQIA plus prompts are designed to help queer daters specifically better connect based on similarities, interests, and compatibilities. These prompts were created in collaboration with GLAAD, so they are by the people for the people, and they have quite a few of them. The first time I knew I was gay, or I feel proudest of who I am, or my chosen family is the best at. For me, one of the Ligabigatiga prompts that I chose to answer was the one about connecting to my community. I connect to my community by, first of all, doing this show. You're welcome. But also through volunteer work, through donations, and by having a good time at Pride and making sure that no matter where I go, I show up as my full authentic self. And if you don't like it, you don't have to have me there. So that's just one of the ways that I like to use these Hinge prompts to kind of give people an idea of who I am and what I'm about. So you already know before you message me, like, I already see what type of time she on. If you're interested in meeting somebody new and getting rid of dating apps, then download Hinge today and show off your full self using their LGBTQIA plus prompts today. Then find someone worth deleting the app for. They right there waiting on you on Hinge. So go download it today. Get started.
So listen, guys, the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. I've been running my mouth about it for a while now. Black representation in media is incredibly important. And I feel like it's in kind of a precarious situation at the moment. So amplifying and enjoying as many of these stories as possible is pretty important. Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. You can get things from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations. There's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives have always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center on Black voices. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. All right, folks, we are back, and it is now time to read your listener letters after.
No fucking way.
We do.
Not me thinking I got away with it.
Kid Fury's Spot Shot.
Really thought I had been delivered this week.
No. Welcome back, girlies, to another edition of Kid Fury Sports Shorts, where I, professional sports analyst Kid Fury, discuss all things sports in a short form. That's right. And today, we are here to discuss Celebration.
Okay.
We're here to discuss Jubilee. Okay.
Okay.
Because the one and only Las Vegas Aces won the Women's National Basketball Association Championship for the city of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Against Connect I-Cut Sun. That's right. 78-71. They pulled through.
Oh, wow.
With defensive rebounds and free throws and triple doubles and timeouts. And Asia Wilson.
Wow.
Maybe the love of my life, but that's not the point.
Oh.
The point is that through hard work, perseverance,
yes,
studsmanship,
Always.
A new white coach named Becky. A passionate white woman named Kelsey Plum.
It's Plum.
They delivered the first pro team championship to that's what I read. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
But to Las Vegas.
So impressed.
Thousands upon thousands of fans poured down onto the Bellagio.
They did.
Tower fountain. Picnic park. They came and showered the streets with love. And I know that it was worth attending because Asia Wilson gave the direct instruction of being no less than four shots deep.
Okay, there we go.
Before you came to the parade.
Yes.
We celebrate their win with fervor.
Absolutely.
And with salutation and perforation and
oh my
due diligence
always. What a game that was. So many. Can you talk a little bit about the finals MVP and her impact on this game?
Man, her impact on this particular game,
right,
is one that can go, that cannot go unspoken, because the impact was so great that it must be spoken about. And so what we have to acknowledge and keep our attention on is the massive amount of impact that it had on the overall very positive and very beauteous result.
Who was that? Who was the finals MVP again?
The most valuable player of the championship.
And her name was...
Yes, thank you so very much. And her name was one that will forever ring out in joy, glory, and honor. Because it brought this team a championship. Amen. Other questions?
What does Connecticut need to do? I mean, to get this close and... You know what? Actually, not even what does Connecticut need to do in the offseason. What do you think about the coach, Connecticut's coach, and his remarks about them knocking Candace Parker out three of the last four playoffs, but then failing to capitalize and turn that into a title win?
I personally was incredibly offended because I feel like dare you have commentary for a woman's plight. Truly, what do you understand? Okay. What do you really know?
Yeah. Kurt Miller. What does Kurt Miller know?
What do you know about what it takes to be a bad bitch in this industry and in this association, doll baby?
Excellent point.
Nothing. Nothing.
Do you think that's the reason Connecticut didn't win the finals? What do they need to do here?
I think they really need to rally together and discuss the fact that maybe we should pronounce all three C's in Connecticut. Maybe that's how we get to peace. Because it's clearly connect. I cut, and I just don't know why, but that's my personal belief in the way that we rise to victory.
Yeah,
but that's not to now. You know, now it is. It's the Aces. Uh-huh. It's about their victory and their ascension to the top.
Can you talk a little bit about how Kelsey Plum affected the game when she was on the floor, especially in those last two games?
I absolutely would love to. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Shorts.
How convenient. Just keep
pushing it. And it's really weird because it's like, I think by now you get it. You don't.
So it's a two question max. Is that what
but that's, no, it's just, we're literally out of time. If I had, I wish I had more. I truly do.
Who said we're out of time?
I'm so passionate.
Who's
about,
in charge of, it's up to us.
I'm so passionate about what Kelsey has done.
Okay.
Not only in this game, but also in life.
Yeah.
But I just, man, okay. You know,
no, I
running
understand.
Down here. Also haven't had dinner, so.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Your answer is really.
Oh my God, so welcome.
They illuminated a lot for me. They really did.
Of course. That, as always.
That meant so much. Thank you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to dive right on into the listener letters now. If you have a question for us, send it to asktheread@gmail.com. We may pick it to be read aloud on the show. Our first letter this week comes from Ro, who says, I have another would you rather for you. Would you rather be front row at Beyonce's first Renaissance tour date or receive the next three Ivy Park releases for free in one of those custom PR boxes?
I already know my answer.
Me too.
I feel like it's going to be the same as yours.
Probably so. For me, it's definitely going to Renaissance. I would absolutely prefer to be front row at the first date of Renaissance than getting the Ivy Park, no shade, like, love Ivy Park. But that show, I already know. My titties are going to be alight, and I need it. So that's it for me.
Disagree.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
I am not.
You would choose the next three Ivy Park releases over front row tickets?
Personally, in those box, those extra special, here are all of the pieces.
Yeah.
Just for you.
I mean, they're cute.
Yes, I would.
Wow. Okay, so there's a bonus.
Because let me tell you something.
Oh.
First of all, Beyonce, the first show is going to be dumb because all of the shows are dumb because it's Beyonce. Like,
right. Hello.
However, Beyonce's tours are also like wine.
Okay, I'm liking the logic here. They do improve with time.
Beyonce goes on that tour and be like, you know what? Let's do this now. You know what? I want to add in some of this. You know what? I saw that one little dumbass TikToks that the kids keep talking about. All right.
She does like, do that. Yep. She does.
Beyonce doesn't just keep giving you the same show all tour.
It's true.
And Beyonce, you know, like, there may be some kinks that get ironed out. There may be some fashion changes.
True.
I may get the braid date. Because here's the thing. I'm going.
Right, I'm going.
Let's not be ridiculous. I'm going, and I'm going to fight tooth and nail to be as close to the doll as possible. So I'm not concerned about attending the show. And I'm actually practicing. Well, she's forcing me to practice patience anyway, because at this point, the lack of visuals feels personal. It feels like
y'all have got to calm down.
She is upset with us.
It's not that at all.
But yes, not because I'm going to that show, and I know that whether it's the first show, the third show, the 17th show, that it is going to rock my Mons pubis.
Okay.
And I can't wait. I would take.
I can understand. I would also like to go to the first show so that I can compare it to the other shows that I'm also going to see later on throughout the tour schedule. Like, But Ro included a bonus question. And so if you picked Ivy Park, what if the concert tickets included a 2-minute meet and greet with Beyonce, the Casamigos was free, and the concert was in Amsterdam? Would that change your answer?
Yeah.
So that's enough. Okay.
Yes. Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, a 2 minute meet.
Two minutes to just be like,
I would just be standing there trying not to get on her nerves.
That's a lifetime. I wouldn't even use the whole 2 minutes. I would literally ask her to leave because it's like, I'm wasting your time.
I'm not even going to look her in the face.
Like, you're amazing. You're the doll. You're like, everything is good. This album rocks my tits. Everything about you is about, like, I wouldn't even, and see, now I hate myself for even doing the most. Like, now I have, like, I'm ashamed, and this isn't even, this is hypothetical.
Yeah, now I'm embarrassed. So, like, over what I would do.
I don't even want to meet her anymore. I don't want to meet her. Nope.
I just don't want to embarrass myself in front of her. I don't want her to run away from me like she did Jason Lee. I like the way me and Beyonce's relationship is right now and how it doesn't exist. And I just get to be a fan from over here. So
I already told the story of how she held my hand at Revel.
At Revel. So. She did. Yeah. And didn't she speak to you once on the sidewalk? Weren't you like waiting? Yes, she waved and said hi. Yes. I was like, I know I'm not remembering that wrong.
I've had my moments. So
there was one about Renaissance, which, like, if you picked the show, what if the PR box included a handwritten note inviting you to Miss Tina's to eat her gumbo and be a guest on her Facebook show?
This is ridiculous. Like, you're not playing. This isn't how you know.
Yeah, I actually don't think that would change my answer, as fun as that sounds. But
wait, a handwritten note from Beyonce or from Miss Tina?
It doesn't say. It just says handwritten, inviting you to Miss Tina's to eat her gumbo and be on her Facebook show. As much as I would love to do that.
I would rather do that.
Oh, well then, you know, you picked the Ivy Park box anyway, so you're going to get that. So you won both ways.
Awesome.
And I would rather the other one.
So I get Miss Tina's fucking gumbo and I get to be on her show. Word.
In addition to custom Ivy Park, the next three releases, the shoes and everything, all of it.
Eat my ass.
That's really a value. Life. Because, like, getting that shit tailored to your measurements and everything, like, custom Ivy Park, and you don't have to pay to have it tailored, bitch. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Thank you, Ro, for starting off the questions this week with something light. Let's dive on in.
Ivy Park and Telfar somehow did a collab.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. All the shout outs, the way she's been carrying the bags, I really wouldn't be shocked.
You will have to come and scrape me.
That's right. My whole essence. I will be melted into the fucking sidewalk when it happens. But okay.
All my money.
Let's get into the questions this week. First one comes from, well, I guess our second one comes from Kiku, who says, I started going to therapy earlier this month after going through a long overdue breakup from my child's father. I've been hesitant about going to therapy for the typical Black people reasons, but after listening to you and Kid Fury talk about your experiences, I decided to start seeing a Black female therapist that my friend referred me to. In the first session, I told her that my ex had been living with me and my son and had a history of being in and out of jail. I tried to encourage him to do other things with his life, but he felt like I wasn't supporting him and we would constantly fight, so he moved out. Not long after that, he got arrested and he's now in jail. He calls and speaks to my son every couple of days. Our son is very young, so he has to call my phone in order to speak to him. My ex expects me to ride for him and be there for him like I used to be, but at this point, I'm over the toxic relationship between us and I want to start my 30s on a mentally and emotionally positive note. I feel that. However, when my therapist told me that the best thing for me to do is to completely cut off my ex, not have him communicate with my child in order to prevent the in and out cycle and go through the court system for full custody, I felt like someone kicked me in my stomach. I don't want a relationship with him, but I also don't want my son to lose what's left of the relationship he has with his dad. Plus, I know from personal experience with my own parents how messy it can be to involve the courts. I don't know how to approach my next meeting with my therapist. I feel like if I don't do what she thinks is best, then I'm not making healthy progress and I'll be stuck in a love after lockup situation. But if I do what she thinks is best, then I'll have guilt about cutting off the communication my child has with his dad. I have even more anxiety now than I did before I started therapy. Have either of you ever felt like you didn't agree with your therapist or you weren't ready to do what they suggest? How do I approach this situation? Thanks so much, Kiki.
I mean, I can't think of the last time I flat out disagreed with my therapist.
Yeah.
I've definitely had moments where I'm not ready to do what they're
every week
suggesting.
Every single week.
And I think I say that. I'm pretty honest about it when I feel that way. So.
Yeah, I would. This is interesting because I don't know that it was completely within your therapist's lane for her to make this kind of like this advice type of thing. This whole like, oh, well, what you need to do is cut him off. And this, like, it just seems weird for her to have done that, especially in your first session. Like, I don't know how I feel That's about her approach there. That feels a little weird to me. But I do think what you can do is just say that to her, like, and her reaction to that will let you know whether you need to continue to keep seeing her.
Totally agree.
Because you should definitely feel free to be like, hey, so when you gave me that advice, it made me feel this way. And then tell her, you know, I felt like if I have to do this one thing or this other thing, like, and it gave me all this other anxiety. Tell her that so she can help y'all, so that she can address that issue, hopefully. I don't know. I don't want to say. Yeah. Well, no, not hopefully professionally. It has to be professional or else, you know, fuck that and get away from this woman. But like, hopefully she says something that will put your mind at ease and make you feel more like y'all are working together to get you through your issues, as opposed to like this authority figure coming in and telling you what to do. That is not what therapy is supposed to be. Not that she can't make suggestions, because Lord knows mine is like, perhaps you should stop drinking all the time. And I'm like, perhaps I will, girl, and perhaps I won't. We're just going to have to take this journey together and see. We will see. There's plenty of times where she is.
Find out next time.
Right. We'll find out together, girl. I'll let you know if I ever manage to do that. But not agreeing with her, that happens rarely. Normally, I can definitely see her point. And it's just that I'm not ready to do it.
Right. Yes.
But yeah, this also feels like it was a little more immediate. Like the outright advice giving is what I'm just like, I don't really know about that. So, but definitely say something to her. And if you feel like y'all work through that and you can continue to build a relationship with her, then great. If not, then you're only a couple of sessions in and you can cut her off and go find somebody who's better aligned with you. Like, as much as we talk about therapy, like, I feel like we do try every now and then to emphasize that we mean like therapy is most effective when you find a therapist who is actually good for you. Everybody's styles are not going to be complimentary for everybody. Like, every therapist cannot possibly be for everybody. And there are some really bad therapists out there. So it's great when you find one that like works for you and it's somebody who whose approach and style works for you, somebody who cares about what they're doing. But if not, it can make things much worse. So yeah, I would just say bring it up to her and yeah, hopefully she handles it well, but definitely say something. And don't be afraid, like, they are trained to handle this, so she should be able to handle it 100%. And good luck, because what a shitty, difficult situation you're in with your with your baby dad and him being in and out of jail and trying to do what's best for your son. Like, that's rough. So good luck, Kiki. Let us know how the conversation goes. Keep us updated. Our next letter comes from Oliver, who says, I've been dating my boyfriend Colton for 2 years. Colton is Boo! Deaf.
I don't know why I did that. I'm sorry.
Not booing love. You think you me.
Right.
Colton is deaf. I'm hearing. And we communicate using American Sign Language. I learned ASL in college and I work as a sign language interpreter. I live about a 3-hour drive away from my family, so I don't see them more than a few times a year. My family doesn't sign at all, so visiting them with him is a bit of a challenge. I'm trying to teach my family to sign, but it's a slow process. So in the meantime, I asked them if they wouldn't mind splitting the cost of an interpreter with me so that I can actually engage with everyone and not spend all day interpreting. I love my boyfriend and I don't mind interpreting for him at all, but doing that as well as trying to engage with my family all by myself is so exhausting. However, my family is against us splitting the cost of hiring an interpreter because it's kind of expensive and they feel like that's my job anyway. So why should they pay somebody else to do it? Even after I told them how tiring it is, they just don't think they should have to pay for an interpreter to come along to our family gatherings. I told them that if they won't help me pay, then we just won't be able to come home as often. And now they're calling me rude and selfish for not wanting to just interpret for him. Oh, right? Niggas. My boyfriend is supportive of me setting this boundary, but now I'm having doubts. What would you do in this situation? Any help would be appreciated. Thanks, Oliver.
Oliver, me, myself, I would go homeless. like, I would follow through on exactly what the fuck I said, which is, I guess I'm rude and selfish or whatever the fuck else y'all calling me. Mm-hmm. Because come the fuck on, like, I'm telling you, first of all, this is something that is supposed to be beneficial to everyone. You know, it's supposed to help make everyone's life in the communication and the situation easier.
Yes.
But particularly me as your family member, as your blood, it helps me a lot and take a lot of exhaustion off of me. And for you to say that I'm selfish or rude by saying that, like, I am just not only, it's not even I'm saying, fuck y'all, well, we're not coming over here because y'all are selfish. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
it's just literally because it's so much work and it's tiring, I'm not going to be able to do it as much. Like, that's the reaction that you have. Seriously?
Right.
Okay. I have a sign for you.
Like, I'm saying I need support. But like, he's saying, hello, I need some help here. I need some support. None of y'all even know how to sign. So like, I'm literally doing this all by myself. Like, I think it's a combination of people really having no idea of how much work it goes into to interpret for somebody. Because most people are not bilingual, that at least not in America, are not bilingual in a way that means they have to do that very frequently. I mean, and I get that it can be kind of expensive, but is it really about the money or is it about, like, we just don't feel like it's something worth us paying for? Because I feel like that's a very important distinction. The fact that you mentioned both of those things, it's like, so if it's really a money thing, then like, maybe y'all can work something out to where they contribute something that is feasible for them to contribute as a family and y'all can make up for the rest. But if it's just like, well, we don't see why we should have to pay anything because fuck that. Like, it's a lot of work for you, but oh well. And we still gonna demand that you come home on like a more regular basis because how dare you not? Like, how selfish of you? Like, that don't work out. Like, that's not selfish of me. That's actually selfish of y'all. And this is something like, this is something that my boyfriend needs in order to be accommodated and be part of the family and part of the experience while he's here. Like, it's not negotiable. Somebody has to interpret. So,
furthermore, I'm not going to go back and forth with you about like providing something that would be beneficial to my deaf boyfriend. Like, I'm not even going to put him in the middle of no bullshit because of this. Like, I'd rather just kick it with him and myself and my friends or wherever the fuck I'm at and live our lives over there than be going back and forth with you about it, you know, something that's supposed to help us out in these situations. I'm just not gonna do it. If that makes me rude, it makes me selfish, great.
Then let that be that. Yeah.
You are very clearly lacking compassion here, that it's just as necessary as the, you know, interpreter and communication.
Yeah. And I'm not going to make him feel bad. Like, oh, well, my family said it's not worth it to them to pay for. Right. Like, I'm not bringing that into him. Like, that's something wrong with him. Like, no, this is an accommodation that he has to have in order to be part of the group. I'm not going to bring him and then sit him in the corner and ignore him either. So like, either y'all work with me on this or you don't see me no more. But this whole guilt tripping, oh, well, you're just so selfish and inconsiderate. Girl, no. What's selfish and inconsiderate is expecting me to keep up with that amount of work that, again, none of the rest of you have to do.
Or understand.
Or are even trying to do. Like, yes, it takes time to learn ASL, but are they really trying? Something tells me they're not. Something tells me they learn when you get on Zoom or when you see them and you give them lessons and they're not taking the initiative otherwise. So, like, literally the entire responsibility is being on you here. So yeah, no, they can, you're not finna tell me that I'm rude and selfish when you are making the rude and selfish statement, like, and trying to make my man feel like, oh, well, he don't deserve this accommodation, or we shouldn't have to worry about it. Like, we've been together for 2 fucking years. I don't know. To me, it seems like there's something else underneath the surface there, and these are just the excuses they're giving, but
yeah,
I would lay it out for them like that. Like you said, you live 3 hours away. It's not like you're dependent on these people. So I would just lay it out. Be like, this is how I'm feeling. And we can either talk about it, or I can just not see y'all as often. And it's really up to y'all.
Amen.
Woo. All right. Let's see here. Here's some breakups. Oh, here's a question about, well, it's kind of about video games. This one comes from Rose, who says, I'm friends with a girl named Jenny who has started like keeping things from me, and it makes me uncomfortable. I'm known in our mutual friendship circles as someone who loves video games. And over the pandemic, Jenny and another acquaintance of ours, Lisa, got super into games as well. They reached out to me for my fan knowledge and to talk about our favorite games. And over the past 2 years, we've gone from acquaintances to actual friends. But like I said, sometimes Jenny withholds information from me and it makes me distrustful of her. The worst offense was when the three of us tried to get a limited edition item and I was able to put two in my cart, but went back to try and get a third for her. And in that time, everything sold out. Afterwards, Jenny told me that another friend of hers had already gotten her the item, and I was pissed because I could have just gotten it for me and Lisa, since Jenny was set. I called her out in the chat and Jenny apologized in the chat and in private, and then made sure to get me the item through other channels. There's been other instances where Jenny has withheld information for selfish reasons. I've noticed that it's never malicious. It's more like she's acting in her own self-interest. I know these aren't outright lies, but whenever I talk to her, I always feel like she's keeping something from me, and I don't always trust what she says, right? My instinct is to take a step back from her, but she has introduced me to her other gamer friends who are super cool, and I like them a lot. So I can't totally cut her from my life the way I want to. It's hard for me to make friends because I'm on the spectrum, and I've always struggled with meeting people and maintaining friendships. Aside from these feelings of what is she not telling me, she and I are chill and get along well. I like her a lot. I just don't know what to do. Should I talk to her about this? Am I just being a typical distrustful Scorpio? Please help. Thanks, Rose.
Well, I can't tell you shit about Scorpios.
I love blaming my personality traits on my sign, too. So I feel you, Rose. Right. And I have a Scorpio rising. And I don't. It's very difficult for me to trust people. So I feel you, girl.
I mean, I don't know that I heard the part where you converse about this issue.
She's like, should I talk to her about this? Which
I think that you should, because it doesn't, I mean, even you're saying you don't think it's malicious, she's acting in her own self-interest, which is still bad. But like,
because she's keeping shit from you,
right? But it's like, she's introducing you to really cool people, and like you have like this cool group of gamer friends. And as a gamer, having like a group of friends that you can play video games with is really cool and valuable.
Yes, as a gamer, I agree.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I do.
But I also respect, like, oh, she introduced me to these people, I can just cut her off and tell her, you know, go fuck herself. I'm sure you want to, you know, figure out your friendship with her. But it's like, to rewind to what you said about, like, you know, I'm going to question everything she says every time we speak. I don't know if she's telling me the truth or if she's holding information for me. Like, that is not, like, that's not a friendship. That's not a healthy relationship of any kind. You're going to have to confront her about these things. And then hopefully, you know, you'll get accountability and action, and you won't have to worry about this sort of thing anymore. But you don't say anything. You can't really expect that anything is going to change. She's just going to keep withholding information from you, and things are just going to get weirder and more complicated and twisted. And it's not really necessary, because it doesn't feel like any of this is that deep that you can't talk about it.
Right. That's where I'm stuck. It's like, I get the being like, this person doesn't always give me all the details, you know? And it is difficult to trust somebody like that. But I also, I mean, this video game thing, I don't know if you just didn't, the limited edition item, I don't know if you just didn't clarify, but it sounded, I didn't read that, you know, she asked you to go back and get a third one for her. It kind of read like you just volunteered to do that and then she didn't need it. So it's like, maybe I'm missing something there, but that just seems like something that a conversation can clear up. And I get being like, you know, it's difficult for me to make friends and I like this person. So like, how do I work it out? Like, should I talk to them? And it's hard to be confrontational in that way if you've never had to like challenge a friend before. But it is really the only way to maintain relationships with people. There's just no way that you're going to have a friendship relationship, any type of relationship with somebody, and everything always be 100% smooth on both ends, no matter what. Like, people hurt each other's feelings. People, you know, maliciously or not, you know, intentionally or not, all the time. So I would, if this is, you know, not just a friend, but somebody you've also met a lot of other cool people through, then if I wasn't ready to approach her with the conversation, I would just adjust my expectations and keep it. Because if, I mean, I get it if you just feel like if you don't have the nerve or whatever to say something to her.
That happens.
But, you know, then it would be like, okay, so maybe when it comes to Jenny, like if I know they release in a Breath of the Wild custom embroidery pillow or whatever, then, you know, I just make sure I go ahead and click checkout on my purchase. And I'm not, you know, I'm not investing something that's like going to be really important to me, like something huge and really vital to my fandom, you know, based off this other person's behavior or their actions. So, but for me, the best route is to just be like, hey, so I noticed this pattern. I just wanted to talk to you about it and, you know, get some feedback from you about how you feel like it. Like that, I get that that doesn't sound very natural. Like, I feel like people don't come to their friends with like an agenda and be like, on today's itinerary, like, I'd like to meet with you and discuss these action items. Like, I get that, but in your own way, you know, tailored to y'all's friendship, bringing it up if you have the nerve. But I don't think this is something you have to end a friendship over. Like you said, it's not outright lies. It's just more like she's always looking out for herself. And when I'm around people like that, I just start looking out for myself.
Right.
Because I know you don't have everybody's back. So I'm making sure that, you know, I'm watching my own.
Right.
Yes. But good luck. I get it. Especially with something really niche that you're into. I'm the same way. You know, when people text me about Breath of the Wild or Mario Kart, I'm always like happy to give my expertise, happy to help. Happy to get more people into Animal Crossing or whatever. But, you know, there's a line. Like, if you put a bitch on your best friends and then she came to your island and stole all your bells or whatever, like, stole all your money trees, that's a violation. Like, so.
True.
So, speaking something to keep in mind.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Breath of the Wild?
I sure as fuck have. And I also saw that they pushed that shit back another, I don't even know how many months, like another 4 to 6 months or something from when it was supposed to be coming out, which is actually perfect because now it's coming out in May of 2023 when I should be done with school. So I can actually afford to spend. Yes. Actually, I'm glad. Please don't let this come out in December because I will have to go right back to school in 3 weeks and I won't be able to do it. I will still be stuck on Breath of the Wild. Yes. So I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad it's coming out in the spring so that I can spend all summer at home playing Breath of the Wild. I'm so excited. Cannot wait. But yes, Rose, glad that we as gamers could help you out with your gaming related question.
Sure.
Should we do another one or should we wrap it up?
No.
I feel like we did like 5 letters this week. So if you have a letter for us, send it on over to asktheread@gmail.com. We're going to take another quick break and then we'll be right back.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take yada yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.
All right, folks, we are back and it is now time for the read.
Yes, it is. Okay. Well, I'm just going to talk very quickly about these assholes in Texas and Florida. Governor DeSantis, Governor Greg Abbott sending migrants who are seeking asylum to the vice president's home.
Oh, yes. I heard about this.
Literally dropping off, I think, about 100 asylum seekers in total outside of her home in Washington and on Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard. Which was just so horrific that as soon as I heard it, you know, it's crazy that I live in this country and I can still be stunned by what these people will do. But the level of depravity it takes for you to round up people who are legally in this country, who think that they are being taken somewhere in order to get the help they need to be connected to their families, to start to find some peace in their lives, and to dump them off at this woman's home or on Martha's Vineyard, like as a political stunt to get your fucking, to energize your racist ass fans, whatever that, like, it's so gross. Like, these are actual human lives that you're fucking with. But my read is actually not even, obviously that's horrible, horrific, terrible, shithead behavior. But I also want to bring up one Charlemagne the God now.
What the hell does he have to do with
this? I wish absolutely nothing. Because, you know, I try not to talk about Charlemagne unless I'm getting paid for it. What? I guess I am. So Charlemagne on his show, a clip of his show that was coming out, he said that, just prepare yourself for this.
I don't.
He said that he actually thinks that this was a genius idea and that the only and that the only problem is that they should have called the Democrats first and like coordinated this with them, because then it would have exposed that the Democrats are just hypocrites and they don't actually want immigrants or migrants near them or in their homes either. So take that. Now, I did not go back and watch the whole show. I'm sure somebody on that panel got him together with how utterly fucking stupid that was. But like, calling it genius just means that you have no idea what's going on here, Charlemagne. Clearly not, because the cruelty is the point. They're not going to call Washington, D.C. and be like, hey, we have some migrants here that we would love to drop off at Vice President Harris's house. So like, let's coordinate how we're going to do that, because that would never happen. If they had actually given a heads up to authorities in that area, they would have said, oh, if you're bringing migrants, then like, let's actually make sure that they are where they need to be. Let's make sure that they are near resources. Like, yeah, maybe they do have court dates that are in D.C. or Boston or New York or something. Like, let's make sure they're near the resources they need. They didn't want to make sure these people were taken care of, Charlemagne. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. The whole point was to take a bunch of people who are in an incredibly fragile period of their lives, going through some shit that is extremely volatile. Mental health all over the place, needs all over the place. We're talking about men, women, children, babies. The whole point is that these people don't get what they need. The whole point is that they get played for people who should know more about politics, who are maybe even in a position to be speaking on politics, and yet don't actually know what they're talking about, to read the headline and get gassed up and feel like, oh, okay, that's a good one. Ew, Democrats fight back. Ew, pinch the bitch back. What y'all gonna do? Like, girl, these are human lives we're talking about. No, they're not going to call the Democrats and set it up first because the Democrats would have told them not to do this stupid shit. Would have made other arrangements so that the whole monkey show didn't happen in the first place. This was all done deliberately. There's nothing genius about it. It's just fucking evil. That's it. What's confusing about this? Anytime you find yourself being like, oh, wow, the GOP made a point, you need to go back and read again. I don't know if it's the current news story. I don't know if it's history. It might be your notes from English. Go back and review because you're simply wrong, especially about something that is essentially taking these people who, again, have gone through the process of seeking asylum and fucking with their lives in order to get racists more energized. That is the whole point of this. For you to act like there's any legitimacy in it, like, this is why niggas be cussing you out. This is why niggas be dragging you. This is why people be like, please stop asking Charlamagne to talk about anything related to politics or whatever else. Because that is just so fucking short-sighted and stupid. No, they're not geniuses. They're a bunch of fucking racist dumbasses like they always have been. So please stop acting like they did anything that was smart or worthy of being celebrated. And that's it for me. Eternally fed up with men. Eternally. Mm-hmm. Like, a disappointment every fucking time. I saw that clip like, girl, I did my time. Okay? I did my time. I tried with Charlamagne. But what the fuck is that?
Well,
I just think it was genius. You shouldn't. You ought not. It was extremely stupid and hateful, mean and cruel and awful. That's what it was.
Okay. For me this week, I'm going to pass my read.
Okay.
Pass the read like we used to.
This read comes from, I'll call you, let's call you Terry.
Okay.
This says, this is for my sisters. My sister's soon-to-be ex-husband, Tin, or any stereotypical white man's name that will suffice.
Oh, Lord.
Bitch, of the many questions I have for your white ass, the first and most important would be how the fuck dare you? This white bitch-made sorry excuse for a human called CPS on my sister for being at and drinking during a family camping trip of which he popped up at.
What?
My sister, who is the primary caretaker, so his sister's getting divorced.
Yeah.
This white man.
Okay.
My sister, who's the primary caretaker of your two very small children, makes more money than your white college degree having ass.
Oh, no.
And has her own home and car. Bitch, you're driving your aunt's car and sleeping on her basement couch. Since you have all the free time in the world to dial up CPS on somebody who is over your dumb ass,
not CPS.
How about you take your clickety clackers and Google up a higher paying job? Better yet, some car seats or stroller, an apartment of sorts.
Oh my God.
Some advice on how to be a good parent. Literally any fucking thing else that won't result in me fucking you up. You white motherfuckers done had me fucked up since I met you and your white racist ass family. Well, you're so stupid that you thought CPS was going to take the kids away from their mother because you called them. And even if that were the case, you thought that they were going to send them to live with you in your aunt's extra storage space. You're a fucking dummy. I'm so excited for the day my sister wins full custody and for you to never, ever see or poison these precious children with your stupidity ever again.
Oh, damn.
I've had nothing to say to you since you tried getting the electricity cut off on her and the kids in the dead of winter.
What?
It's truly a wonder how I didn't beat your ass salon style in the foyer of my sister's home. But this is taking me over the edge. I'm saving my biggest, most disgusting loogie to spit directly in your face the next time I see you.
Oh, my God.
At this point, I'm daddy to your kids.
There's no reason why you've been seeing them 5 times a week and they regress in your presence. But with me and their mom, they flourish. They know how to sit quietly, feed themselves, express themselves, and how they feel, amongst many other amazing skills like playing the piano and spelling. Sounds like you're not only failing at life, but also at parenthood. Your 3-year-old and your 1.5-year-old are both smarter and more emotionally intelligent than you'll ever be. You're a waste of life. You're worthless, useless, and it's a wonder how you're still on Earth. I now fully understand why your family views you as a fucker. They hate you, and I get it completely. You hate yourself, and that I understand as well. I simply wouldn't be able to exist if I was you. I truly wish you the worst in life, and I'm hoping whenever you have the "can it get any worse" thought, that your existence continues to get more and more difficult. I wish you every single major and minor inconvenience that can possibly happen to a person until one day you spontaneously combust into nothingness as if you were the victim of the Thanos snap. You truly deserve the absolute worst in life. Choke.
Wow. He called CPS because she had a beer on a camping trip.
She was on a camping trip with her family. And
so she wasn't even the only one. So she wasn't even the only adult. Like, you just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. I'm sorry. It got worse. It went from worse to worse.
Yeah.
Not you out earning a white man with a degree with your own house and car while this nigga is. Oh, my God. Woo. God bless all of you leaving worthless men.
Yeah.
May the strength of Christ be with you.
Step right into that light. No, not that light.
The other light, Carol Ann.
The Lord light.
Yes.
Well, that's about it.
Oh, okay. Well, that will wrap up this week's episode of the show. Check us out on social media at This Is The Read and our website, thisistheread.com. You can find our merch over at shoptheread.com. Anything else from you before we head out this week?
Is the Patreon Patreoning? I don't know.
It has been. Yes. And we are going to be, yes, the Patreon is up and there is a live being coordinated soon. So yes, we're back on that over at patreon.com/TheRead. Go check out these videos that Kid Fury posted of him trying out these snacks and things. Yeah. And we'll hang out over on the Discord. Is that it from you for this week?
That is it for me.
All right.
Work in the morning. Work in the morning. All right.
Yes. Stay black. Protect your magic. And we will see y'all next week.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.